The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It.
That's okay, who's good. Ready to rock? if only. I wish, I'll tell you something. I wish we were just playing music today. Because I am, you know, it's day two of 2022. Yeah, it's the second show of 2020. It's January 4th, but it's the second show of the year. And I'm already feeling really, really discouraged. Why? Well, no matter where you look, things are foobar. So I wake up this morning to find out that people are stuck on I-95 in Virginia, not just for like a couple of hours. They're there for over 24 hours. Seriously. If you've listened to the show for any amount of time, you've heard a man named Jim DeFede. Jim DeFede is a journalist here based in South Florida. He and I worked together at WINZ, 940 Winds, when it was Progressive Talk. Back, it seems, a lifetime ago. And these days, he is at the CBS-owned station in Miami, CBS 4, where he is there, like he's one of the senior investigative reporters. Anyway, I guess he was visiting his mom in Brooklyn over the holidays. And so, well, this morning, I go on, I'm not going to pull the video just because it's a pain in the ass. But here's DeFede with one of his many updates.
All right, I got an update. It's almost 10 a.m., which means I've been in the car for 24 hours. I left New York at 10 a.m. yesterday. It's now 10 a.m. Tuesday. I've been in the same spot in Virginia, just south of Quantico, for at least 17, almost 18 hours. And I just got an alert on my phone from the Virginia Department of Transportation saying, I-95 drivers, state and locals coming ASAP with supplies and to move you. I am not reassured by this message.
Well, he actually is out. So about, I want to say 2 hours or so after he posted that update, Jim DeFede wrote on Twitter. Oh, I just closed it somehow. He wrote, I'm free, sort of. Prince William Fire Rescue guided the cars and trucks back to a newly opened exit, and then I was routed north on I-95. Now I'm trying to get off 95 and figure out my next move. But thank you to the fire rescue folks. Much appreciated. This was after he was stuck there for over 24 hours. What he said before that was, Prince William County Fire Rescue is now here moving vehicles backwards toward the last exit. This was like a 48-mile backup. It was caused, they had weather, they had snow. And so a tractor-trailer apparently jackknifed sometime yesterday afternoon, and all these people were stuck there. Senator Tim Kaine was also in that same traffic jam for over 24 hours. So, you know, wow. That's worse than the hell that's, you know, going on in my head right now. That's not how you want to be spending the first days of your, 2022. No, but that's not all. Somebody else who had an even worse day is down here in Florida. Let me see if I can't find this story. So, I can't get anything right today. Ron DeSantis, or as, you know, I like to refer to him as Moron Death Sentence, had a press conference today up near Jacksonville. Now, yesterday, we told you yesterday, he went before the cameras and he showed that he's truly alive and not on vacation. Oh, okay. Someone calling. It looks like California. We'll go right to the phones. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Nicole. This is George from Coarse Gold, California.
From where in California?
Coarse Gold. It's near Yosemite.
Oh, wow. Okay, because you have a 562 area code, and so that's like Long Beach area, isn't it?
I used to live in Orange County.
Ah, I gotcha. I gotcha. You're being sneaky. Or just have an old phone.
I just want to say something real quick.
Okay.
Joe Manchin gave us the... he told us what we have to do this year. And my New Year's resolution is to elect Democrats.
Okay.
Joe said... You gotta
elect more liberals.
More progressive.
Elect more liberals, yeah. Is exactly what he said. Yes, he did.
So we need to take it to heart and do that.
I love that idea. Let's do that. Because, you know, I just opened an email that was sent. Somebody who has me on an email list sent out a mass email to a bunch of people down here in Florida. And it was from, I don't know, somebody who endorsed Annette Tadeo for governor. And somebody replied to the people who she emailed to in this mass email and said, is she the best? Can she win? And therein lies the problem. We have three people running for governor here against moron death sentence in Florida. It's Annette Tadeo, state senator, wonderful woman. I really like her. Charlie Crist, former governor, former Republican, now congressman, Democrat, so he says. And Nikki Fried, who is the state agriculture commissioner. Three of them, between the three of them, they have not raised a third of the cash that moron death sentence has on hand. For some reason, people like him, but I can't figure out why they like Donald Trump either, but it's the same thing. I think it's, what's it called when you're taken a prisoner? Stockholm Syndrome. Thank you. I think that's what it is. I think these people are all there. I don't know.
Well, we can't beat them. We can't beat their money, but we have the numbers, so we got to stand together.
You know, you're right. There are more of us than there are of them. We just need people to stop being influenced by cable news and the polls and to stand their ground, damn it, and realize that things are a lot better than the media will paint and that the Republicans are telling you. They're so out there in la-la land that, did you hear, I don't know, George, if you watch CNN, but they have been running a piece for the last day or so. Their correspondent named Donny O'Sullivan, have you seen this?
Yeah, he interviews all the right-wingers.
Right. So he interviewed a bunch of people down here where I am. I think it was around the time that Trump had some event at the arena, not far from where I live, and on January 6th. And all these people are delusional. They believe what they've been told. Go figure. They believe what their president told them. They believe what the place that they watch to get their news told them. And never once understood that all these people are lying to them. It's really frightening.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do any Democrats ever picket outside of Trump's properties?
Oh, I'm sure they do. Well, his properties. Yes, definitely. You know, South Florida, just so you know, is a very apathetic place. It's hard to get three people together for a protest.
It's the humidity.
It is the humidity, definitely. And so, but, you know, around the time of the Women's March, we were down in Miami for that. And then there was another march up in Palm Beach, right across the bridge from where Mar-a-Lago is. So Palm Beach is like a barrier island. Then there's West Palm Beach where all the, you know, the regular people live, the riffraff like you and me. And when you go over the bridge, that's Palm Beach proper, where all the big money is.
So you can't really get close. You can't get close to Mar-a-Lago.
You can, but there were so many of us that we couldn't be there. The police would have shut us down. But we did. There were a lot of marches. Every time he came to town, there would be marches. It doesn't faze him for some reason. I think he thinks they're out there for
him. Oh, and you got to watch out for the drivers plowing into people.
That's right, because now Governor Death Sentence said that's okay. That you can run down protesters if they're blocking the street. Of course, when they're protesters he likes, that doesn't hold true. It's only when they're protesters he doesn't like.
Well, Nicole, I'm going to let you go because you got a show to do. And I love the banter between you and David. So
oh, thank you so much. I'm sure he appreciates that, too. All right. Thank you, George. You too. Bye-bye. It's always nice to hear from a listener I haven't spoken to before. So the way it works, if you're new to the show, phone lines are always open. I usually have a guest in the second half hour of the program, which is what it will be today. Dave Johnson, an old friend of the show and one of the OG progressive bloggers from the blogosphere, is going to join us. But during the first half hour of the show, sometimes I have a guest. Sometimes I tell you a story. Sometimes I play some funny bits. Sometimes I go on a rant. But the phone lines usually open during the first half hour. I do not have a producer. I work alone. So when I see the phone ringing or hear it, like in that case, I'll just answer it. So there's nobody screening calls. So that's how it works. Feel free to call in if you've got a burning comment to make or you know, any reason at all. So I started telling George about this thing that's playing on CNN. And this reporter, Donny O'Sullivan, he's Irish, I think. First, he was here in Sunrise, Florida, interviewing people. And this is the kind of... What the hell? Nobody's calling now. Why is it... Oh, okay. I'm not taking a call right now, so don't call right now. So these are some of the clips, some of the people that Donny O'Sullivan spoke to. And just know, there are millions of them.
Times just a visa gift.
January 6th attack was not the Republicans nor Trump. It was the Democrats who were behind it all.
It was.
They're the ones that caused it all.
Do you really believe that?
I know it. And there is no way that a Republican would act that way. And there is no way that Trump had anything to do with what happened on January 6th.
No way.
All the Trump supporters that have been charged and indicted.
Because it's all Democratic judges and people that were on the take from the Democrats.
All judges and people that were on the take from the Democrats. This woman was so sure of herself. Oh, I know. How about these two?
I think the whole reporting of it is a giant hoax.
We are very peaceful people. So it was a total setup. To me, it was the FBI had set it up. I don't believe that they were Trump supporters that did that.
You said the whole thing's a setup. You don't really believe that, do you?
I do. Because Trump won the election.
No, he didn't.
They've proven it over and over again.
No, they haven't. That's the thing. So this is why I could never do what this guy is doing or what Jordan Klepper does for The Daily Show. Because I would, you know, the key to get them to talking is just to let them talk so we could hear how completely batshit crazy they are. But I couldn't do that. I would say... Who? Been proven by who? It went before 60 different judges who all said, no, there's no there. But Donny's back at it again.
I really don't think Trump had much to do with it. And people that were supporters for him, some were involved, but I think they were enticed by the FBI.
They were enticed by the FBI.
By undercover agents.
The FBI and undercover agents. Okay. Did you know that? It was false flag. It was the FBI. All right. How about this one?
Do you accept that Biden won the election?
Absolutely not. Biden did not win this election.
Yeah, did not win this election. How about this one?
Are you proud of what happened here today?
Absolutely. I think we should have gone on in and yanked our senators out by the hair of the head and drug them out.
By the hair of the head.
No more.
I'm absolutely stand behind 100% what happened here today. 1,000%. I think it's terrible how this election was stolen.
So it goes on like that. And by the way, the guy who said it was the FBI, you wonder why he said that? Well, maybe it's because fucker Tarleton told him.
Federal prosecutors have charged more than 700 people in connection with the Capitol riot and repeatedly documented the rioters' support for President Trump. But some people in right-wing media have pushed the dangerous idea that it was all an FBI plot.
FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol.
Okay, that was Tucker Carlson, or as I like to call him, Fucker Tarleton. the thing that's so infuriating is this channel calls itself Fox News. Now, if they were in individual markets on over-the-air television, they couldn't do that because the FCC has jurisdiction over that. And for instance, some of the things that the FCC very toothlessly these days does, but they have rules. And one is you can't call yourself a news broadcast if you're not doing news. Fox wouldn't be able to call itself Fox News if it was on terrestrial television, if it was not on cable, if it was on over the air, you know, the public airwaves. Yeah, couldn't do it. But because it's on cable, it isn't governed by that body. Same thing with advertising. You know, there is a law against false advertising. FCC has jurisdiction over that as well. And that's why you can generally trust commercials. You know, they're always going to take it right up to the line and fudge it as much as they can. But they can't blatantly advertise false things because they will get held accountable. On cable, there is no such entity. So Fucker Tarlson can go on the air and say, the FBI did this, and get away with it. And that's what's happened. That's what happened to all these people you just heard in that segment there. They watch Fox, or they watch OAN, or they watch Newsmax. And yes, now there are three cable channels in addition to all the online things. There's InfoWars. There's Gateway Pundit. There's Breitbart. There's all these other entities. And here's the thing is, people talk about the pandemic and what it did. You know, a lot of people, over 800,000 Americans dead, but it did something else. The pandemic radicalized a whole bunch more people who were stuck at home, sitting in front of their computers, bored to tears. And instead of taking a painting like some normal people did, they went down rabbit holes on the internet. And this is what happened. They start believing QAnon. When we first heard about QAnon, remember how outlandish it was? It was ridiculous. We were laughing. I never paid much attention to them because I knew it was just ridiculous. There was a child pornography and sex trafficking ring in Washington, D.C., run out of the basement of this pizza place. And Hillary Clinton was involved. And, you know, it really. And these are the people who make up today's Republican Party. I'm at my wit's end. I really don't know how much more of this I can take. I'm not having the same reaction as I had, you know, 5 years ago when Donald Trump was elected. If you were with me back then, and I think I turned over an entire audience because I had a mental breakdown. I suffer from depression, have since adolescence, and I just couldn't handle it to the point where I'd sit in this chair each day shaking. Seriously. You know me. I talk contemporaneously. I talk off the top of my head. I rarely write anything down. I do take notes every now and then. But if I have an interview, I don't have questions written out. I'm not scripted. I just speak. I speak from the heart, right? But back then, I couldn't say three words that weren't written out. I was a nervous wreck. For a while, I stopped guest hosting the broadcast when they were out. You may remember, listen to both shows. Angie Coiro, for about a year and a half, filled in for them when they needed a guest host because I just couldn't do it. It was everything I could do to get myself in here each day. Now, I'm not there right now, and I'll tell you my secret. Prozac. I'm telling you. I had been on different antidepressants. And look, I'm not a big fan of antidepressants. I wish I didn't need them. But that's what 40 milligrams of Prozac a day. And it's kept me centered. So at least I can think. But what's going on now is I am so disturbed that what I see coming is very likely the end of what we recognize as democracy. I know what we live under is not a true democracy. It's a democratic republic, I believe, is what it is. But I think it's over. Yes? What? Your head? My head? What about my head?
What about the therapy? The
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway. Okay, probably Dad did this TMS therapy that was like a magnetic tapping thing. That probably helped. But I really credit the Prozac. But the thing is, I am, so I'm not depressed. I'm not like suicidal or anything. I am just really, really concerned of where we're going. Perfect example, you know, listening to those people who are all singing the praises. Donald Trump didn't lie. These people wouldn't do that. There was one woman, I don't know if it was in that clip, Republicans wouldn't do that. Have you seen the Republicans I've seen? Have you looked at any of the videos from January 6th of last year? I guess not, because Fox, not news, doesn't show them. And I'm guessing OAN and Newsmax don't either. Get your head out of the fucking gutter and turn on real news for a while. Look, I bash CNN and MSNBC and the rest of them. But aside from an occasional misfire, they're basically reporting the truth. You know, bottom line truth. When they talk about January 6th and insurrection, they got it right. Listen to the news organizations that have been around for a long time, rather than the fly-by-night blogger who's sitting in his underwear, like Donald Trump's 400-pound guy in his basement. That's who a lot of these people are, and that's who they choose to believe. You know who Donald Trump is? Yesterday, he endorsed wholeheartedly. Oh, I should read the, give you the exact endorsement, because you want to talk about nausea-inducing. Let me find this, and I do believe I had it in today's news, didn't I? Maybe not. Here it is. Trump endorsed a man who much of Europe considers a threat to democracy, Hungary's Viktor Orban. I thought I had his actual quote here, but it appears I don't. But he went on to talk about, I wholeheartedly endorse him. He's done a great job for his people. No, he really hasn't. But then you look at who the former guy admires. Here's a little sampling. For instance, the only foreign leaders Trump praises are the strongmen, the despots, the authoritarians, like Duterte in the Philippines. Trump loved him. I don't have a quote from him talking about Duterte, but he endorsed Duterte, saying we're going to kill all the drug dealers. Because that's how Donald Trump's mind works. What about Vlad? You know, Vlad the Impaler?
Putin's a killer. A lot of killers. You get a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent? Do you think our country's so innocent?
I don't know of any government leaders that are killers in America.
Well, take a look at what we've done, too. We've made a lot of mistakes. I've been against the war in Iraq from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but he loves his Vlad. What about Xi?
You know, I had a great relationship with President Xi. I really believe he liked me and I like him. I had a great relationship.
He's a killer.
He is a killer, but I had a great relationship with him.
Okay, how about Erdogan?
I had a very good conversation with President Erdogan. I respect him. We have a very good relationship. Yes, I agree. He's a tough guy, but we have a very good relationship. I seem to do better with tough people.
Seem to do better with tough people because that's who you aspire to be. He wants to be them. How about MBS in Saudi Arabia?
A friend of mine, a man who has really done things in the last 5 years in terms of opening up Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
and
my God.
Just thank you on behalf of a lot of people, and I want to congratulate you. You've done really a spectacular job.
Of killing Jamal Khashoggi. That he did a spectacular job at. He loves his dictators. How about Bolsonaro of Brazil?
Today I'm very thrilled to welcome President Bolsonaro of Brazil for his first visit to the White House. President Bolsonaro, I want to congratulate you again on your tremendous election victory.
Right.
Last October was an incredible feat and really a truly incredible challenge, and the end result was something the whole world was talking about. I also know that we're going to have a fantastic working relationship. We have many views that are similar.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, they do. Oh, and there's one more. We can't forget the big kahuna, the guy who Trump really wants to be, his lover.
He wrote me beautiful letters, and they're great letters. We fell in love.
We fell in love.
He's the head of a country, and I mean, he is the strong head. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone think anything different.
Strong head.
He speaks, and his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same.
He wants his people to do the same. And don't forget, he will do to you exactly what Kim Jong-un does to his people if they don't sit up at attention, given the chance. And this is the direction this nation wants to head in? I am rightfully freaked out. And it's to the point where a lot of people I know are up and leaving, or they're talking about leaving, not staying and fighting, but leaving the country. So that's one of many things that I want to talk to our guest today about. Because, you know, Dave Johnson, he's usually, well, not right, but usually correct.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct.
Correct.
It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, Dave Johnson.
Nicole.
Happy New Year.
happy New Year. There we go.
Welcome to the party. So you just got back from the UK. You were over in England in the land of Boris Johnson. I don't know if he's part of your Johnson clan or a different Johnson clan. I don't know that he's usually correct.
Opposite Johnson.
The opposite Johnson.
Yeah.
The little Johnson.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, and you just got back here. Now, are you also thinking of leaving? Are you moving away?
Lots of reasons that it's a possibility. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
One of them is it's just so nice there.
Is it?
But I think a lot of informed people who stay really informed, you know, people who follow the news.
Yeah, like you and me.
Yeah, and a lot of people we know are thinking, I mean, imagine if the Republicans take the House.
I know.
That's kind of it.
That's it.
That's it. Because that's it.
Yeah. And they will start, and they'll start impeaching Joe Biden.
It was Cruz said that today or yesterday that they will. If they take the House, they will impeach Biden.
For what?
And they'll say they'll do it retaliatory impeachment.
It doesn't matter. Because they have what they've effectively done, and I do say effectively, is dismantle the tools of our form of democracy. The system of checks and balances that we all learned about, in fourth grade civics, really doesn't exist anymore. Because Congress has no oversight capability of the executive branch, mostly because Donald Trump said, fuck that. I'm not coming along with that shit.
It's not just because of that. I mean, look at our Justice Department now. But I mean, well, we can go on.
Merrick Garland's going to give a speech tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much going on, but the word that I keep hearing is collapse.
Collapse. This is, and that's what I'm feeling. And I think that's why I'm so destroyed, discombobulated, dejected. I'm not depressed. I'm sure that'll come soon enough because it's part of my DNA. But I'm beyond. I'm in disbelief that we are at this place.
As you know, I was in the UK 3 months ago, and it occurred to me watching the United States from the UK and from anywhere outside of the country, the word that started coming up was collapse. And I started thinking about it then. I think I might have talked about it here. I don't know, but the word was collapse. And as I think about it, I think it's more and more obvious that as you look at it, it starts to coalesce into a clarity Oh, that's two C's. So I got to say of collapse.
Of collapse.
Okay. Yep. Coalesce into a clear. Yeah. Okay. So we lived on the FDR infrastructure, all kinds of infrastructure, that's public right. infrastructure. And that means the infrastructure of the electric grid we set up then, all the things we did then, all the money that was put into everything to get us restored out of the Depression and modernized the country. And then it kind of, we stopped doing that. We did some in the 60s. We did a bunch of mass transit into the 70s and everything. But when the conservative movement rose up and started taking over, you know, Reagan just stopped investment in the infrastructure. But it's not just the infrastructure of bridges and the rail systems and transportation and all of that, but it's also the infrastructure of, under Eisenhower, they built the agencies of government.
Right.
That protected people. The regulatory administrative state, as Bannon likes to talk about. Right. And so the wealthy and the corporations started attacking that. They put together this project starting in the 70s. I mean, before that, it was what we used to call the kooks, you know, the Dr. Strangelove, the precious bodily fluids guy, right?
And
all of that. But it coalesced, and Reagan was like the monument to when it really started to have that power, and they just stopped investing in the public. In us, and everything was suddenly started to be turned over to the rich. Every chart you see of anything all of a sudden takes a turn up or down or something under Reagan. The wealth, okay, the concentration of wealth, all of a sudden the labor share of the economy, as productivity went up, it used to
go
up.
Well, and because Reagan famously busted the air traffic controllers union, and then unions started declining after that.
They busted everything with the propaganda against government.
Yep.
And if you think about what they were, they talked about smaller government. They mean government is we the people. And they say, well, we need less of that. It's we the people making the decisions. Well, we need less we the people making the decisions, they said. And they said, the government, it's too big. And what they meant was it's regulating the corporations. It's stopping the corporations from polluting. It's stopping the corporations from robbing us, from harming their employees, from concentrating. Okay, so we were living with the infrastructure of the New Deal in the public agencies that got so good and science-based and protected people. And that's also infrastructure that has been declined. But then there's the infrastructure of the public understanding of democracy as well. That has gone away. The public, government spending is bad. What does that mean? Government spending in a democracy, by definition, is spending on things that we decide
and they stop doing that in favor of tax breaks for the uber wealthy. Yeah.
And so we've been living on this infrastructure of all of that for so long, but it started crumbling. And it started crumbling. We could live on it. You know, these Republicans all talked about how the libertarians, we don't need government. Well, they drove on roads.
That's right. They did. And they drank water from the faucet, and they depended on the food inspectors so that they wouldn't get E. coli.
The agencies that protected us, the food inspectors. That's a really good one. And it declined, and it declined slowly. Okay, it's slow, but it started to crumble. Well, things get bad slowly, and then they get bad all at once. A bridge stays, your cars keep driving across it as it crumbles.
Exactly, and it's crumbling underneath, and you don't necessarily see it until one day it collapses.
One day the bridge collapses.
That's right.
One day the Justice Department gives up. It stops, let's say, here's an example, stops after a huge economic collapse caused by bank fraud. The Justice Department doesn't prosecute a single banker.
Right.
The corruption... The part of the FDR, the New Deal system of infrastructure of things, it was a system of rule of law. And then the corruption came in. Harry Truman became known, and the reason he ended up being selected as vice president was because he led a committee in the Congress that fought corruption, went after wartime profiteers, for example.
Yes.
So the whole infrastructure that we had created of public governance, of public physical infrastructure and everything else, it's been crumbling and crumbling and crumbling, and we're watching it very quickly start to collapse. And one day will come when it happens all at once, I think.
When the bottom falls out. Right.
I've been talking about it, but I've started noticing a lot of people suddenly, you know, they still might be on your show, but they're appearing on your show from Ireland, for example. You know what I mean?
Yes, Marcy.
And other people are suddenly, and a lot of people we know all of a sudden are, you know, moving to Canada.
Yes.
They're showing
moving
up
to
Canada,
Paris. You know? Moving to.
I'm looking at, hey, I like the UK. And I was just thinking, you know, that. I was just me. It might come to the point. Like if Trump had won that election, I'd have been there.
If Trump had won this time,
but in the back of my mind, maybe it's the Jewish half of me. You know, a good Jew sleeps with a suitcase under his bed, right?
I don't know, but I don't have one. And the thing is, there are those of us who can't afford to up and leave the country. If we did. Yeah. We just might. And in fact, years ago, for some reason, I got on the email list of International Living magazine, which a friend of ours tells me is very right-wing publication. But there's no politics involved in this. Every year, they put out a list at the beginning of the year, the world's best places to retire. And so today, what shows up in my inbox, but the world's best places to retire in 2022. You might be surprised to know, the UK is not on that list. This list is only 10 places. This is the top 10. You want to hear the top 10?
Sure.
Number 10. Oh, I should get my drum roll.
And then I want to tell you a couple points.
Okay. But. Uruguay. They have four seasons. Let's see.
A lot of Germans retired there.
Yes, I heard that. I did hear that. They do tell you that you can live rather inexpensively. It says, renting long-term in Uruguay can be a good option. In Montevideo's fashionable Cordon neighborhood, you can rent a two-bedroom apartment for $700 a month. In Maldonado, you can rent a modern apartment for around $500 a month. And if you want to buy, you can buy a newer two-bedroom apartment for $125,000 to $150,000. Healthcare, they have a private plan called Mutualista. It covers everything from routine checkups to major surgery and emergency care. It costs $50 to $60 a month. And that's basically it. Number nine, Spain, España. They say it's also a single woman living there gets by on about $2,000 a month. Great healthy foods. And it tells what you have to do to, you know, be allowed in there. You have to show that you have money to live there. Number eight is France. Number seven is Malta, the island of Malta. Who knew? It says if someone were to take Southern California and mix it together with a blend of Tuscany, Spain, and more than a sprinkling of the Greek island Crete, that is a pretty good analog for Malta. That sounds pretty good. I'd go there. It's five islands that make up the country. Basically the size of Lubbock, Texas. What's the cost of living here? It's still cheaper than here. Healthcare, high quality, ranking fifth in the world. Fifth in the world. So there's that. Number six is Ecuador. Who knew? I think John McCain was born in Ecuador, wasn't he?
Panama.
Oh, and Panama is on the list. You know, guess where Panama came? It is.
There.
Well, I'll just go. Number five is.
So they rebuilt it after what we did.
Yes. Number five is Colombia. Number four is Portugal. Number three is Mexico. Number two would be Costa Rica, which I've heard great things about. And number one, Panama. Panama red. Sorry, I just don't know all the drug songs. That's okay. What I know of.
That's interesting.
But there's a lot. If anybody wants this, I'll post the link to it on the blog today where I post today's show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/1-4-22.
They all speak English, right?
No, but all of these countries have American expat communities where people do speak English.
Yes.
I'm just saying, everybody I know, it seems, is looking at what the options are, because I just saw something. What's his name? Ian Bremmer, who runs the whatever group, you know, said basically, you know, and the thing is, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Every election, this is the most important election of our lifetime. But what he said is, this one really is.
This one is.
This one really.
The last one we thought would be, except for Joe Manchin, it turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is it.
Is it. And if the Democrats lose, either chamber of Congress, we are just fucked.
Yeah.
It's over.
That's the end.
It's over.
Yeah. It's already kind of, I mean, they can't get anything done anyway.
Right.
And we talked about Joe Manchin, but that's because every single Republican in the House and the Senate is about collapsing our government on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Joe Manchin won't get rid of the filibuster that's letting them do that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema say the filibuster gives some power to the minority, to the party that's not in the majority.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Because they're not
what the filibuster does.
People didn't vote for them, so therefore we have to get their permission to do things.
Right. Do they need to go back to that same fourth grade civics lesson? Because in a democracy, majority rules. It's 50 plus one. What more do you need?
That's right.
And so they're willing to blow up everything.
Yeah,
they're willing to derail Biden's agenda and the Democratic Party agenda and...
Yeah.
Our fragile democracy.
Exactly.
Because what? Because they have a principle the filibuster that doesn't even exist in the Constitution?
I don't blame the Democratic Party is what it is. I don't blame today's Democratic Party as much. It was more like the Democrats of the past who set this up.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they had the filibuster under Obama. Well, they had a huge majority. They had 59 through a lot of
right.
it.
Right, they had 60 for a minute.
And they had the Republicans filibuster every single thing under Obama. Gun control, you name it. Okay,
I know.
They set that up for now. All of the anger at the Democratic Party is not without merit, but the Democratic Party now, it's almost irrelevant what they do now because, you know, NAFTA.
Because they didn't do the right thing when they had the chance. Let me ask you this, Dave Johnson. So after the 2000 election debacle, shouldn't the Democrats have put some protections in place so that the Supreme Court couldn't just come in and say, stop the counting. We're stopping it right here. George Bush is the winner.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. And they should have made that very clear in law, but they did nothing.
So the deal was sealed. They're trying to undo the deal they sealed now, and let's hope they can. But don't forget how we got here. You know, there's a lot of great Democrats trying to do a lot of great things. Biden's agenda, you and I were on this show talking about how great Biden's agenda was.
He was following Bernie's game plan, basically.
It was, you know, and he helped. Bernie helped him write it and everything,
right.
But here we are.
Yep.
Here we are, and it's because the Democrats did not get rid of the filibuster, and a lot of things the Democrats were. I was thinking about that. We're going all over the place, but I was thinking
That's fine.
A couple of hours ago, and I remembered Howard Dean's famous. The one that launched him when he spoke to the Democratic convention, and he said, "What I want to know is why are all these Democrats voting for the war?" And things. So remember that? He said, "Wait a minute, we're supposed to be Democrats. What are these people doing?" I was just thinking about that. Was that 2000?
Don't know when that was.
It was a long time ago, but it was
a long time.
Why are all these Democrats and all of us Democrats like, oh my God. And we all responded to it and the blogosphere took off. And it was, you know, there was a note there that what happened to the Democrats? Well, the Democrats now, I just don't know.
I don't know either.
They might want to change everything. It might be better at the top. I don't know, but it's too late. That's my problem.
We had people who didn't do what they needed to do, just the same way that we haven't kept our infrastructure going.
Exactly.
We're still.
They just let it go.
They just let it go.
Could have done something about it then. They could have stopped the filibuster then. Now, what do we do? Yeah. What do we do now? Well, it is the most important election.
It is.
Really is. And, you know, the Democrats are going to come and say, oh, give us a bunch of money because it's the most important. You know, there's a group called the Squad. You know who I mean?
I do.
We've got to do everything we can to get as many people like that in there. And you know what? If you're in West Virginia and it's Joe Manchin against somebody or something like that, you don't vote for, don't let the
But you know what? I mean, I know. Look, for a while there was people who were, you know, batshit crazy Republicans kept it on the down low. They didn't publicize it. But now there's power in numbers, right? So now they're empowered by the orange guy and this crazy wave that's going through the country. And it seems like the people who are Democrats are now just kind of being quiet about it. We need to be loud. We need to make noise. We need the AOCs and the Rashida Tlaibs and the Jamal Bowmans.
We need to give them money if we can.
If we can. But more than that, we need to show up. We need to be out there and we need to be loud and we need to not back down to these people. They are the crazy contingent and that's who's winning right now. The proverbial wolves are guarding the hen house. They've got it. They've taken control. And the thing is, you know, I will rail against the mainstream corporate media because I know what they're doing wrong. And what they're doing wrong is not reporting the news. They are reporting the news. But they've positioned themselves in such a way that they are, that the Fox and the OAN and the Newsmax, the non-news entertainment,
the propaganda machine
is repositioned them like they did with Joe Biden. Biden is what, 3 years older than Donald Trump? Donald Trump was a doddering, I think it was Kim Jong-un called him a dotard. I mean, he was. Why didn't we capitalize on that? We should have blown up the word dotard. Instead,
we can't.
Why?
You know, I mean, I'm not moving to England. We're talking about it out of my great wealth, by the way. Mm. My great wealth. This came from being a progressive. Which is
same place my wealth came from, huh?
Which goes towards why I'm saying yeah. It's because my wife's British, so we were visiting.
You've got family there, yes.
Wasn't my great wealth from being a progressive. No. Like your great wealth from being progressive. Media.
Exactly. No.
We can't get that word out. Biden has one of the best economies ever right now.
Ever. Yet.
Ever. The public believes it's terrible.
That's right.
And the reason is because this massive machine that they have out there is just repeating it and repeating it. And so when you say, yes, there's a lot we can do. Yes, we need a messaging machine, but all, you know, we need to do better messaging and everything, but we can't until, you know, until they start paying you couple hundred thousand a year.
No shit. Right.
And all of that. Somebody doing what you're doing on their side is getting
a lot of money.
Something,
oh
something someone likes, they're going to get a check for $15,000 from billionaire somewhere every time.
Every time.
That's what happens. That's why they're all such grifters with all of this, because there's so
much. And the thing is, most of them, they know what, they're not stupid people.
Right.
They know. Sean Hannity knows exactly what's going on, but he also knows where his paycheck comes from. He doesn't believe the shit he spews. Now, fucker Tarleton, I don't know. He's just demented. But most of these people don't believe the stuff they're saying. It's an act.
That's right. And they're well aware. They're for fascism. It's not like there's people who there's a lot of people who like this stuff, this strongman stuff, you know.
a lot of Duke voters,
you know. It's classic to create chaos, undermine rule of law, you know, and you get everything not working and you create enough chaos. And then the public calls for a strong leader who will get things done. And then a Trump shows up and says, only I can fix it.
And they believe him. That's the thing. And the thing is, look, if Biden got up there and started if Biden started patting himself on the back and saying, I'm the greatest, I created the greatest economy, I created this, people would just laugh. But Trump, this has been his MO his whole life. He brags about things that he never even thought of, and people believe him because if you say something enough times, people will believe you. And the megaphone, which he does.
Even now, you know, it's all Trump. So back a few beats. Yeah. Okay, we've been talking about how many people who are aware of things are very scared.
Yes.
Getting ready to move out, getting themselves in a position to, as they say, get out in time.
Get out in time.
Some are getting out now. A lot of people are thinking it over. That we know a lot of people, but there's also, we're watching this collapse, and there's a sense, and people who follow these things are very concerned.
Yes.
Let me talk for a minute about collapse, though.
Please.
So I was in the UK for 3 weeks,
yeah,
and we changed all our plans to get on buses and trains and do all those wonderful things and go to great pubs and all of that. We changed, as you know why, we changed all of our plans and put on the N95 masks.
I got to have them. Yep.
And by the way, out there, everybody's getting COVID also. And
everybody.
An N95 mask makes the difference. A cloth mask, a surgical mask does not stop.
You need Omicron. The N95.
And we were in England. We did a few things. We had N95 masks on. We're okay. So maybe that's what made the difference. But okay, so
collapse.
Something else.
You were going to talk about collapse. So you're over in England. You're there for 3 weeks. You're going to tell us about collapse.
Right.
It's a long-term loss of short-term memory.
I'm old. Also, I'm so fucking jet lagged. You know, that's what this is. I'm trying to stay awake here, you know.
Collapse, though. So watching the U.S. from the U.K.?
We're watching the collapse, okay? And I completely lost. I had a great train of thought. I'm sorry.
I hate it when that happens. I sympathize because I've been there. It's the worst feeling. I'll be in mid question in an interview and I just lose it. It goes poof. And I'm thinking, how do I get out of this?
I can see myself and I turn bright red.
I'm sorry. I hate when that happens. Anyway, we are in a state of collapse. It doesn't happen overnight.
I was in England.
Yes.
Okay. And we're in England and we ended up staying at the house. Well, the relatives are Chinese.
And
yeah. My stepmother-in-law is Chinese.
Okay.
And her mother came in, and they're both from Kunming, and they were, I'm talking about back to collapse. And they're talking about after the war and after Mao took over and what life was like, okay? But then along came in the 60s, late 60s, something called the Cultural Revolution.
Okay.
You have the collapse of a society, and you don't have the structures we're used to, the rule of law, you don't have the protections, you don't have all of those things go away. And what happens is the worst people can become in charge.
That's right.
And they were describing to me living in the Cultural Revolution and the horror, the terrifying things that happened as gangs of thugs could, you know, and if somebody accused you of not being communist enough, okay?
Oh, God, yeah.
This is not a rap on communism, socialism, no. Capitalism. This is about how people behave.
Right.
Because this is Handmaid's Tale. This is the way the Republicans are going after each other and everything. But in China, the rule of law was gone. It was a collapsed state, had not formed into a working state yet.
Right.
And the worst people then were able to become the people who had the power. And the terrible things that happened to people, you know, a lot of people, they just shot. But a lot of people were so persecuted. If you were a landlord, or if somebody accused you of maybe being a little bit of a capitalist somehow, or whatever. Let's say
so it's like the McCarthy era, just on steroids.
Exactly, right. Like the McCarthy era, where they accused you of being a, they hung these heavy signs around your neck with wire that dug into you.
Oh, God.
And put a heavy cap with a metal edge, sharp metal edge around your head. And, you know, it's a kind of a cone cap, and walked you through town.
Oh, God.
Where people
said, shame, shame, shame.
They had all long lines of these people, and sometimes they marched them to their executions that way.
Oh, my God.
That's what everything became.
Wow.
What I'm getting at is collapse is horrific when it happens, and it happens.
Right. And it sounds and it seems it could happen here. And you got Donald Trump down here in Mar-a-Lago, who has the gall. He's going to have a press conference on Thursday, on January 6th, when in D.C. Yeah. they're going to have all kinds of events to make sure the story is told as it happened, because they're out there trying to rewrite history and say that this didn't happen. I mean, I talk about opposite world all the time, and it's more, it's where we're further and further into it every day, where nothing makes sense. It's the show Stranger Things called it the upside down. I call it opposite world. Everything is the opposite of what it should be.
This is what I wanted to say today.
Yeah.
And then I lost it embarrassingly. Okay. But collapse is bad.
You think?
If Republicans take the House, already nothing's getting done through the government. But remember Benghazi?
If Republicans
take the House, the entire Congress will only be all the time Benghazi hearings.
About
what criminals Democrats are. And they're going to impeach Joe Biden.
So what Benghazi means in this case is a minor incident that
they want to create chaos and division and hatred, because then the strong man can come in and take over. And that's their intent. And we can't let that happen. So as much as we despair, you know, I hope some of our friends are getting their ballots from the U.S. You know,
definitely. Well, that's the thing.
As much as we despair, this is it. And fascism and collapse are very bad. Americans cannot comprehend what life could be like. And this is a warning, you know, that this is why people are scared enough that they're talking about leaving. But because history tells us what can happen, and that is... We haven't had rule of law for how long? The Mueller report.
Yes.
The Mueller report laid out how many counts of obstruction against Trump. And then they said, this Mueller report that was so weak about what they should have done, but they said Trump committed obstruction of justice. They laid out several points and they said, but we cannot recommend indictment because the rules of the Justice Department say, it's against those rules, and that's why we can't.
You can't prosecute a sitting president. And by the way,
once he's not president, they're warning. Once he's not president, you better indict him. Where are we? Okay.
Right. And by the way, that rule is just a rule. It's not a law. It's not a law. It's not a pronouncement from a court. It's a notation somebody made in the margin of a ruling saying you can't indict a sitting president.
Justice Department will not indict Trump, even with those Mueller things. Even though Cohen was indicted and sent to prison, and Trump was the unindicted co-conspirator that they couldn't prosecute because he was a sitting president. And then the Justice Department has done nothing. And so our protections, this is another piece of infrastructure, our protections have broken down.
Completely. And I will put the blame at the feet of the Democrats, because they didn't shore up the hold. They didn't brace for the storm. They didn't prepare for the mess we knew was coming. They did not protect us against Donald Trump and the insurrectionists and the crazies who want to turn us into an authoritarian form of government, who want Donald Trump to be a dictator.
Who are actively working to do that.
Yes, actively. And but Joe Biden picking Merrick Garland was the worst possible move. Now, Marcy Wheeler says, give him a chance. He's doing his job. He's going about it methodically. We needed a bulldog. and we got a Pekingese.
Two indictments ready on Trump that had said right in them, they can't use these because he's not a sitting president.
Oh, bullshit. Then challenge it. You know what Trump would do if it were him? He'd say, fuck that. Do it anyway. Yeah. Do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I this is where I'm at. I'm so frustrated. And yes, I hate, you know.
Gotta vote.
Gotta vote. Well,
don't let it kill you. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it keep us from going.
Right.
You know,
well, that's the thing. And what I hear from too many people is, you know, I don't like any of them, the Democrats, because they made all these promises and they didn't keep them. So fuck them. They're all bad. Well, you can't be like that because this is fascism.
You're going to be walking down the street with a cone thing on your head. Damn straight. If you don't show up and vote, you are.
Watch The Handmaid's Tale. That's what we will be. I know me. Shit. Are you kidding? I'm going to be an aunt. I'll be like Aunt Lydia. You see, I'm not of childbearing age anymore, so I can't be a handmaid. So they're going to make me be one of the kitchen people, yeah. I guess.
Right.
I wouldn't be an aunt because I wouldn't work.
I'm one of those people hanging from the wall.
Yeah, me too. You and me both. Oh, my God. You know, back when Handmaid's Tale first came on, I couldn't watch it because that was shortly after Trump came into office and I was in this very deep, bad depression and I couldn't do anything. But once I pulled out of it and I started watching it, it got me angry. If you haven't watched The Handmaid's Tale, it's on Hulu. You should, because it's great television and it is scary enough that maybe it'll motivate some people. You know, Dave, I keep going back to Susan Sarandon and all those people who's like, you know, that couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton and said, you know, maybe we need Donald Trump. We need things to get so bad. We need things to get so bad that everyone will see and then it will come back. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. It gets bad and people get sucked in because they get brainwashed and we wind up with a Hitler in the White House.
It gets bad and then you're dead.
And then you're dead. So the next question is, my husband, back in whenever, learned he knows how to shoot. He knows his way around a gun. We do not own a gun. I will not let a gun be in my house. But I'm starting to rethink that. For protection. I know he can handle it. If he wasn't good with the gun, I wouldn't say, because I won't go near it. I don't know what to do.
You can't do that. It can't work. You try that in China. Try that in Russia. No. That's not what happens in these authoritarian states. That's just not how it works.
No, even if we have a gun, they'll come in with a tank.
But it's the same thing we say to the right-wing nuts who talk about using a gun on the...
I know, the government. The it's US to protect government. Me against the government. Have, yeah, right. Good luck with that.
Do you have any idea what 1 minute of a B-20, F-22 or F-35 or, you know, no.
Yeah.
That's not... You got to stop it before it happens. You can't do anything about it after it happens.
No, I know. But you know, I'm waiting for the Trumper gangs to come marauding through our neighborhoods.
We defeated Hitler because of the Allies. Okay?
Yeah.
There were reasons the Soviet Union fell, and it wasn't because people had guns, you know.
I know.
Well, here's if we have time.
Oh, we're in overtime now, so
I think it was Romania where everybody just showed up on the square around the capital and stayed. That's how they got the people out in Egypt.
Uh huh. Well, and look what happened. I mean, Tahrir Square happened, and then
the liberal side ran two different candidates, and the conservative side ran one. So they split the vote. Yeah, that's what happened there. They argued with each other and split the vote. In the Philippines, that's how they got rid of Marcos. Big,
yeah, but then they wound up with Duterte.
Well, so, a long time later.
Okay? I understand.
A long time later,
but,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The modern wave of authoritarians came in under a unified plan. Cambridge Analytica, you name it. Let's not get into that yet.
No, please. But
that's how they got rid of Marcos. It didn't work in Hong Kong. But they tried, okay? But it worked in other places. If enough of the people just sit down and say no, but that they can't fight. You can't fight them. You'll just get shot.
No, I know. Yeah, but you know what? But I'm seeing this. At least you're out in California, so things aren't quite as bad there. I'm in Florida, which is ground zero for the crazy coalition.
Yeah.
More on death sentence, the governor is screaming, don't get vaccinated, but we need those monoclonal antibodies, even right. though they don't work on Omicron. It doesn't matter what's real. It's what he says. They removed an icon, a community activist, a very liberal guy today at a press conference that moron death sentence was holding up in Jacksonville. And this guy, his name is Ben Frazier, I believe, went there. Older man, older black man who's in a wheelchair, and he wasn't doing anything wrong. In fact, he runs, he's like the head of this organization that called Northside Coalition. NorthsideCoalitionofJacksonville.com is their website. And their whole their platform is nonviolence. We don't do anything. We don't fight. We're just a voice of reason, basically. And they put this guy in handcuffs and threw him in the back of a police car without his wheelchair, by the way, and for no reason at all. They just said, there's a press conference coming up. You have to get out. And this man said, wait, bear with me a second here. This is a public meeting in a public building, and you're telling me I, a member of the public, can't be here? And sure enough, they had him arrested and thrown out. That's the
smallest of things of what's going to happen.
Exactly. That's how it starts. That's here in Florida. Tomorrow, we're going to deal with this with a Florida attorney, somebody who used to be a Republican and resigned. He was, I think he like vetted judges or something for the Republicans, resigned to DeSantis. He's now a Democrat and he's working against them. And he's actually going to come on the show tomorrow. I just got a message from him. But, you know, we need a million of those people. We need reasonable Republicans to say what's going on there is wrong. And they need to join us, not in our party. They don't need to become Democrats. They need to be Republicans, like regular, run-of-the-mill, basic Republicans who will fight back against the idiots trying to hijack their party. And they need to reclaim their party, to ours. They need to take theirs.
The hijack is complete, but
right. I know. They need to take back their party and leave us the fuck alone so we can have a two-party system again and we can go back to some semblance of normalcy and just bickering between parties. But we can work together. I know I'm rambling. I'm going on and on. Can I tell you what else we're going to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Betty White.
Oh,
seriously. I know a guy who lives in L.A. He's a writer. I think he writes for Variety now. I knew him back in the day. He wrote about radio. I know he's written about me in the newspaper. And he's been for the last year or so working on this book about Betty White. And I think I don't have the release date, but I think it was scheduled to come out like next week on her birthday.
Oh.
And so the book is coming out. And so Ray Richmond and I are going to talk about Betty White after I talk to this guy about Florida.
Yeah. You see what the Republicans did with Betty White?
What?
Well, they started spreading that she died of because she got a COVID booster.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Anything that people will react emotionally to, and then they attach their crap to it to get people mad at Democrats.
Oh,
everything
my God.
Like that. Everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's despicable, but they are. They are despicable. They're the despicable party. Oh, my God, Dave Johnson.
If we don't all not get too discouraged and show up and vote and all of that, then we're going to be living with far worse than Trump every day.
That's true. That's true. Because I'll tell you something. DeSantis, if Trump doesn't run, DeSantis is next in line. And he's worse than Trump because he's educated. I'm not saying he's smarter. I'm saying he's educated. He knows better. But he realizes, you know, that this is a way to gain power. I guess. I don't know. It's just, it's opposite world. It doesn't make sense. Dave Johnson, aren't you glad you're back?
Yeah, okay. All right. Everybody.
Yeah.
95 masks. Don't even bother with the cloth mask.
Do not.
Stay home for a while.
Stay home.
Everybody around me is getting COVID.
Everybody.
Around me is getting it. It's.
I know.
This is terrible. A mild case is bad. N95s, please.
Right. And yes, Omicron might not be as virulent, as horrific as right. as Delta, but it's still pretty fucking bad. You don't want to get it.
Our ICUs are overloaded. They're
yep.
full.
Yep.
And it's just getting started this time.
I know.
N95s. Take it seriously. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Dave Johnson.
Thank
See,
you, Nicole.
You're correct again. All right. Next time, you know, I would love us to just be goofing around and having fun. Just sure. in this climate.
Remember how we were after Trump got COVID?
Oh, yeah.
He got COVID.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Dave Johnson. Me too. I'm sorry. Thanks for being down here with me in the muck.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Until next time.
Until next time.
See ya. Bye. That's Dave Johnson, everyone. I'm going to leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll have fun tomorrow. I promise. All right. Bye. Here's the news. And it's not good. But it is what it is. All right. Have a good one, everyone. Thanks for being here. Sorry.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Heads up, if you're wondering what progress Attorney General Merrick Garland is making in holding accountable the people responsible for the January 6th attack on the Capitol, well, we may find out on Wednesday as Merrick Garland is scheduled to update the country on the progress made by the Department of Justice. Stay tuned. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Monday that the Senate would vote by January 17th on changing the filibuster rule if Republicans continue to use it to block voting rights legislation. Democrats have been pushing federal legislation to protect voting rights as Republicans in states they control enact new voting restrictions. They say the laws are necessary to prevent fraud in voting, and they accuse Democrats in Washington of trying to overstep their authority. But Chuck Schumer said passing federal measures to protect voting rights is necessary to, quote, protect the foundation of our democracy, free and fair elections. Although, in an interview on Monday on The Nicole Sandler Show, David Dayen of the American Prospect explained that of the two voting rights bills under discussion, neither one would address that problem.
The dirty secret is the bills that are being discussed don't really deal with the changes in election administration and the fact that legislatures, mainly in Georgia right now, this mm-hmm. is the issue, that the legislature can essentially take control of the election administration mechanism. That's not something that's really contemplated in these bills. Even if they overturn the filibuster and go ahead and pass the Freedom to Vote Act, or I think that's what it's called.
Right, the Freedom to Vote, and then the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement.
And even the John Lewis.
It's not in there.
That doesn't change this whole election administration thing, which is really the most dangerous part. Like, you've pinpointed it. That's the most dangerous thing right now.
Well, we may be sick and tired of COVID, but COVID's not done with us yet. New infections jumped to a record of over 1 million on Monday. More specifically, 1,082,549 new cases were reported, according to Johns Hopkins University data. The surge has come as the very infectious Omicron variant continues to infect people nationwide. More than 103,000 were hospitalized with COVID-19 on Monday alone. That's the most since the summer surge, according to the Washington Post. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 have risen by 27% in the past week, as the daily average of new cases more than doubled, but deaths declined by 8%. So we got that going for us. The total number of coronavirus cases in the U.S. has now reached 56,189,547. With 827,748 deaths. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are scheduled to meet with the White House coronavirus response team on Tuesday to discuss the next steps to take as they fight Omicron. The FDA on Monday signed off on giving Pfizer COVID-19 booster shots to children between the ages of 12 and 15. They also shortened the minimum wait time for a booster by 1 month, so people are eligible for the third Pfizer dose 5 months after getting the second shot. The Centers for Disease Control will likely approve this change this week. Senator Rob Portman of Ohio tested positive for COVID in an at-home test Monday night. That means he will not be in Washington, D.C. this week for votes. In other news, New York Attorney General Letitia James' office has subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump under an investigation into the business practices of their father, the former guy. The inquiry focuses on whether Trump inflated the value of his properties to get better loans and underestimated them to get lower tax bills. Lawyers for the Trump Organization and the adult Trump children are trying to block James' office from questioning any of them. The subpoenas for Trump, Trump Jr., and Ivanka Trump were all issued on December 1st. James' office did question Eric Trump, the other son, back in October of 2020. And the trial of Elizabeth Holmes, remember her, the founder of Theranos? It's finally just about over. On Monday, the jury returned a guilty verdict on 4 counts out of 11, including conspiring to defraud and defrauding investors, though she was found not guilty of the same charges relating to paying patients. The jury deadlocked on an additional 3 counts. Holmes' sentence will be determined by a judge at a later date. Each guilty count, though, carries a maximum of 20 years in prison plus a $250,000 fine. Just days before the anniversary of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, the former president endorsed a man who much of Europe considers a threat to democracy, Viktor Orban of Hungary. 6 opposition parties coalesced around Orban's opposition leader. The parliamentary elections are planned for this spring, but Trump put out a statement that read, quote, "Viktor Orban of Hungary truly loves his country and wants safety for his people. He has done a powerful and wonderful job in protecting Hungary, stopping illegal immigration, creating jobs, trade, and should be allowed to continue to do so in the upcoming election. He is a strong leader and respected by all. He has my complete support," with a capital C, "and endorsement," capital E, "for re-election as prime minister." Seriously? Orban's party has introduced a new constitution that weakened judicial independence and human rights protections. He's also curbed the rights of journalists and expanded government control of the media. Well, it's no wonder that Trump likes him, and his minions at Fox do too. Like here, Tucker Carlson apparently doesn't understand that the United States supports democracy around the world.
Right, but hold on. Why would we take Ukraine's side and not Russia's side? It's a sincere question. If you're looking from the American perspective. Side. No, but why? I mean, who's got the energy reserves? Who's the major player in world affairs? Who's the potential counterbalance against China, which is the actual threat? Why would we take Ukraine's side? Why wouldn't we be on Russia's side? I'm totally confused.
Ukraine is a democracy. Russia is an authoritarian regime that is seeking to impose its will upon a validly elected democracy in Ukraine. And we're on the side of democracy. That's why people were chasing those planes in Afghanistan and wouldn't be chasing Russian ones. We're for democracy. We're for liberty. We're not for authoritarian regimes coming in and changing borders by tanks. Russia isn't showing up on the border with ballot boxes. They're showing up on the border with tanks. And that's why we need to make certain we're on the side of democracy.
Yeah, I guess I'm for democracy in other countries, I guess.
I guess? He guesses? Okay. And finally, the weather. The Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Maryland region got 5 to 10 inches of snow on Monday, the most in 3 years. But they weren't alone. Parts of Alabama, Tennessee, and North Carolina saw snow as well. But hundreds of thousands of people still don't have power. At least 3 people died in a storm-related crash. And, well, the understatement of the day, major traffic delays continued Tuesday morning. Thousands of motorists are stuck in hell. Make that on I-95 in Virginia, where the highway is now a parking lot. A friend of mine, reporter Jim DeFiti of Miami CBS 4, has been stuck on I-95 for almost 24 hours already. He updated us on Twitter.
All right, I got an update. It's almost 10 a.m., which means I've been in the car for 24 hours. I left New York at 10 a.m. yesterday. It's now 10 a.m. Tuesday. I've been in the same spot in Virginia, just south of Quantico, for at least 17, almost 18 hours. And I just got an alert on my phone from the Virginia Department of Transportation saying, I-95 drivers, state and locals coming ASAP with supplies and to move you. I am not reassured by this message.
Hey, Governor Youngkin, what's going on? Stay warm, Jim. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.